Thank you. So turn with me, please, to Hebrews chapter 10. And just hold there for a minute. And I just want to share a few things. For the last several weeks, months maybe, you know, the Lord has really been compelling me to speak to the ecclesia. And my heart is so broken. You know, when I look at our nation and I look at the church, my heart is so broken over the condition of the church. And and I've given a few difficult words to the church. This week, while I was praying, and the reason why I believe this is the message the Lord has for us tonight is because, you know, as I've shared, God is about to deal with the church. Because, you know, the Word tells us, Peter tells us, that judgment has to begin at the house of God. God cannot come and bring his justice in a nation when justice has not been executed in the church. And that's a very difficult thing, because we want to see our nation come up and out. And we know that the goal of, even as we prayed so much last week over the Communist Party, the goal of the Communist Party was to infiltrate the church. Because if they could weaken the morals of the nation, then they could take the nation. That's what they said. That's what they firmly believe, and that has been a concentrated effort by the communists. And because the church structure has been infiltrated and weakened, God is about to bring his people, the ecclesia, the church, those called out of the world and up to God, up and out. He is purifying the church. He is refining the church. And the shaking that we see taking place in our nation will continue. And it must continue. We cannot, and it's so easy for us to cry out to God to stop the shaking, you know, and we want to, right? When we see people suffering, when we see the chaos, when we see, you know, their efforts to bring destruction, it's so easy for us to say, God, stop the shaking. But the truth is, the shaking must have its way. It must complete its cycle. Because in the midst of the shaking, God is exposing the corruption. He's exposing that which gets into a nation, that which gets into a city, a state, that which gets into the ecclesia, or rather the church structure, to infiltrate the ecclesia. He's exposing that which has gotten into the church structure so that his ecclesia can arise and come up out of. That's church structure. And I don't mean to say that churches are going to fall all over the country. I don't mean to say they're not going to fall all over the country. What I mean to say, we have good, solid churches. We have good, solid pastors. Pastor Chin, he is a man of the word. He is a man of prayer. He is a man who, when he goes to prayer, the enemy shakes and quakes. Because he has dedicated his life to the word and to prayer. He's not just a man downloading a message from the internet to release it to his congregation. He's a man who seeks the face of God to get his message for his congregation. And I know pastors. I have a very, very good friend in San Luis Obispo area. When they shut down, he took his church. They went out into the street. And he took a loudspeaker. You want to shut my doors? That's just fine. I am going to preach it to the masses. You're going to beg me to go back in my church doors. That's what he did. We have good, solid pastors that love the Lord, that are teaching their people to be the called out ones, called out of the world and out to God. So this is not a condemnation on all pastors, but there are those areas that have been infiltrated. And God is going to expose the infiltrators. There's people who are in congregations even now, you know, good, solid pastors that have infiltrators, and they don't even realize it. God is going to expose the infiltrators because they contaminate his ecclesia. And they contaminate and weaken a nation that has been chosen by God for a higher purpose. And so as I share messages that the Lord gives me for the church, this is not a condemnation on the called out ones. And it's not really a condemnation on the infiltrators. It's a cry for repentance. Because I've seen what happens. And the effects of this too many times. And my heart breaks. So, Joel's Army, in respect to this, one of our prayer points is to pray for the church. Why? Well, for the very reasons I just said. But as the shaking continues, the church is being deeply impacted. And as much as we want to see the shaking stop, we need the corruption uprooted. We have to have that. If God has his body refined, right, because Christ is the head, we are the body. If he has his body refined and coming up to Christ, the head, and we follow his leading, where he turns, we will follow. He is the head. We are the body. Where he turns, we will follow. Whether we go right, whether he goes right or left, we follow because we follow the leading of the Lord. Our goal, our desire, is to see his will done in the earth. And when he gets a refined church, you know, Malachi talks about the shaking, right? He talks about the refining. Refined as fire. Refined as silver, purified. The refining must be complete so that when God then begins to truly deal with the depth of what's in the nation, the church will keep the nation together. God is using Joel's army to keep the nation stable while he deals with the church and he deals with the nation. But when the church has been really strengthened and the church has been purified and we are ready to go, and when he says right, we turn right. When he says left, we turn left. And we are walking as one. He is going to go after the enemy in unprecedented ways. And the people will need the stabilization that they find in the house of God. When Jesus came and he cleared out the temple, what did he do? He cleared out the temple. He did it twice, beginning of his ministry and at the end. Why? Because they had made it a den of thieves. And he said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. It's to be a house of prayer. And see, Joel's army is the beginning of raising up a house of prayer. When the Lord told Mom to start Joel's army, she said that we would be pressed down, in through the earth's surface, down into the tectonic plates to bring stabilization, stability to the nation in the midst of the shaking. Years later, I had a vision of Joel's army, and from above, we connected. There was the intersection points of every Joel's army member. And we brought a covering for the nation. And eventually, as we spread to nations of the earth, additional coverings, the expansion. We bring stability beneath, and we bring a protection from above. That's Joel's army. Leading the charge on how to be a house of prayer. When we pray, and Paul often gave instructions on prayer, petitions, supplications to the Lord, right? But in his messages on prayer, the truth is, it's a pathway. Prayer is a path of bringing our needs to God, exchanging them for his divine will, his preferred will, with all humility, with our hands raised. In Timothy, doesn't he say, lifting holy hands unto the Lord, with all prayer and supplication, with all humility, while he imparts faith for us to receive his will. And then we hit the mark with our petition. A petition is an intercession. It's an intervention that literally hits the mark. As we intersect between heaven and earth in our intercessions, followed by what? The giving of thanks for God's grace. So we are called as Joel's army to petition the Lord, to come before him and exchange our will for his. And then he imparts faith into the yielded believer to then take his will into the earth. Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer is about? Isn't that what he says in the Lord's Prayer when he teaches them how to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's us coming before him to find out what his will is. So when I say to you, it's really easy to pray, God, stop the shaking, because that's my will. God, stop the shaking. Please just stop the shaking. But when I go to him with that request, he pricks my heart. And he shows me the condition of the church, the condition of the nation, the condition in the days ahead if he stops the shaking today. And I repent. Why? Because I sought my will, not his. It's very easy to go to him with our will. And he's so gracious. Earlier this week, I was praying. And I was like, Lord, the shaking is, you know, can't last week have taken care of it all? And then he showed me a vision of the church. And he came and he ripped the roof off the church. And what was inside was a den of vipers. And I said, okay. He said, that's what'll stay here. If I stop the shaking. When we went down to New Orleans, we, and those of you that have been with us for a long time, you know that those of you who are on this line who are from New Orleans definitely know this. But when Katrina came in to New Orleans and left so much of New Orleans underwater, for weeks on end. You know, I remember that was the days when I used to watch the news during tragedy. I repented, it's okay. And I remember looking at those images and seeing people literally in boats, you know, little fishing dinghies, you know, tiny little motorboat thing. As they had their little motor going, and they were going around, and I thought, where in the world? Why? And they would pass by the roof of a house, and that man or woman, whoever was driving the boat, their head stuck up over the roof. And I'll never, ever forget those images. You know, it's just like 9/11. It's a tragedy that took lives, and you'll never forget these events, ever, as long as you live. But as I looked at those houses, and as I looked at it on the news, nothing could have prepared me for what we saw. We didn't go there for another, I think, 2 years after that. And by this time, now, the water's receded, obviously. Homes have been rebuilt. And the Lord told us to stay. We renovated a church gym. And several months later, you know, almost a year later, we renovated another building. But the place where we were renting a couple of houses, when Karen and I got there, we went and we walked around the neighborhood, and I, you know, the house we were in had been renovated by now, so it was, you know, the work was done. But it was shocking because we arrived there at night, so everything was dark, so, we didn't see anything when we first came in. But when we got up in the morning and we went for a walk, I was shocked by what I saw. Because next to the house we were staying in, you know, across the street is a house with a big X on it because they had to make sure that's how they went and checked houses. You know, no one's in here. It's clear. And there was still the ring about a foot from the roof line. There's still the ring of water that sat in New Orleans for all those weeks. And I thought, this is years later. But there was that ring. The house was, you know, had the owners or renters, whichever the case was, they abandoned the house. And until someone comes in, that house stayed like that. And because of mosquitoes, because of disease, because of mold, the city had to begin to undertake, and there were organizations that rose up and hazmat suits that rose up and went into these homes and began to clear them out of debris because there was so much waste that settled into the sheetrock, the carpet padding, and all the housewares, the furniture, the mattresses, that had become a cesspool of disease. And when the winds kicked up, that black mold, those spores, would soar. And so organizations were coming in, and they were trying to at least clear the houses down to the studs because they had to get rid of the black mold. Because it's toxic. And if you don't clear it out properly, if you don't get the debris out of there, the end result is that you can come in, you can cut away a little bit the sheetrock and put new sheetrock there, and you can put a slather of paint, and you can put in pad and carpet, and you can get someone in to stage the house, and you can sell the house. Oh, you can paint the outside to get rid of the ring, and you can do the yard, and you can sell the house, or you can rent the house out. But it won't be long if you didn't get the insulation and the mold that had grown in the insulation, or if you decided to just kind of slather plaster over the sheetrock instead of removing and replacing it, it wouldn't be long until that black mold would begin to seep through the sheetrock, through the paint. And you could open a closet and find black mold all over the wall. And I know this to be true because it happened in one of the houses we were renting. If you don't effectively remove the rot, that which causes it to be toxic, you can try to cover it up, but it will return. The rot and the toxic will return. And so when I say to the Lord, can we please stop the shaking? And he pricks my heart and then shows me what will happen if he stops the shaking now. I am quick to repent. Because I want this job done completely. We have a remediation team in now. That's what's happening right now. Reformation hit in 1999 in our first gathering. And Reformation is what's paved the way for where we are today. That's what Reformation does. Right now we have what hit the voting polls is the most pro-life generation that we've had in history. And I firmly believe, why? Because Reformation came. And the spirit of Reformation penetrated those cells as they developed in their mother's womb. And we have the most pro-life generation that graduated high school a couple years ago. Because life penetrated them at the cellular level as they were developing in their mother's womb. Reformation changes things. But in the process, it has to uproot and stir up and tear up and do the renovation, get the remediation team in there, and get it cleared out adequately so that it can be rebuilt. What Joel's army is doing is paving the way for it to be completed, which is why we need to assess where we are and work on our expansion plan as a team, as leaders in Joel's army. Joel's army is keeping this nation stable while this work is done, while the remediation is being accomplished. It's a tough job, I'm not going to lie. I never, ever, ever thought I would cry so much, you know, in a decade, let alone in a week. When I was younger, I was not a crier. I cried when Bambi's mother died and couldn't stand that, you know. I just didn't watch movies that were sad. Even when my kids were little, they would pre-screen things for me. I mean, it's not a problem now. I don't watch movies. But that's how I was. I didn't want to cry. The first gathering I went to was up in Seattle in the early, early years of our gathering. I walked in the door and I cried and I cried and I cried and I cried until I was literally huddled underneath the registration table. Just because of where it was staged behind a desk, trying to figure out what was going on with me. Thought I was having some kind of, you know, crisis. I was. God was awakening the intercessor in me. That's what he was doing. Because he knew the path he would bring us to today, that we would have to come together with our tissues in our pockets, maybe in the hand, with our knees sometimes bloody because we've been on them so long, to stand in the gap for a nation who would never know our name. They would never know that we saved them. They would never know that we kept them from being taken over by the elite. They would never know that we kept the nation stable in the midst of the greatest shaking this nation has ever experienced. They would never know this side of heaven, what they'd been saved from. It's our destiny. And I have talked about destiny time and time again. Why? Because Joel's army is a destiny. To be an intercessor is your destiny. And to be in Joel's army is a calling. And when we embrace our calling, we quit fighting with God and we step into his will. And when we can step into his will, we can endure the worst possible shaking imaginable with strength and fortitude, because we know the fate of a nation rests on our persistence to the calling that's been placed upon our lives. That's Joel's army. And that's what you're here for. That's what your prayer cell members are here for. Together, we fulfill a destiny that will have the privilege of seeing this nation transformed before our very eyes. So over these next 7 months, God is going to deal very strongly with the church, which is why I've spoken on it so much. He's going to target those that haven't stood for life, because when Roe versus Wade is overturned, justice is going to have been executed on behalf of the unborn. And as that happens, God will begin to deal with the church that didn't stand for life. He's got to deal with the organizations, Planned Parenthood. He's going to deal with the government agencies involved in fetal tissue harvesting. He's going to deal with the scientists who've done experiments on those fetal tissue harvesting. He's going to deal with every element, because that's his justice. And in this process, we are going to have to stay the course. You know, of all the money that has been funneled from the government into Planned Parenthood, into scientific experiments, into stem cell research and such, if all the money that was funneled into that and into the vaccine industry and then funneled back from all these agencies back into the politicians' pockets, if all that money got released back into our country, we wouldn't have a homeless, hungry person in the country. Our schools would not be in disrepair. We'd have better teachers in our schools. When that money starts coming back where it needs to be, well, eventually it might start stop coming out of our pockets. Joel's army, the intercessor, we help pave the way for the people to step into their own calling. We help pave the way for the people to step into relationship with God. When we pray for the church, we're praying for a refining in the church and a shaking in the church. When Jesus was on the cross, and he said, "It is finished," the earth went dark. It shook, and the veil was rent from top to bottom. This veil is incredibly thick. It's incredibly that it's 60 feet high from the ceiling to the floor, and the rending of the veil signified that that partition between the Jew and the Gentile, and that partition between us and God, was taken down. And through Christ, our high priest, we enter in to make our petitions, our prayer requests, our supplication known unto the Lord, and receive his will for us to bring back down and to pray. Jesus became the veil that we enter through. I have a friend who recently passed away. And the night that occurred, I had a dream. And in that dream, I saw my friend standing before Jesus. And I saw his wife and their friend there with them. And they were in this big open field. And he walked through Christ. He walked. Jesus opened up his hand. And he walked right into him. And disappeared. And so when I woke up from that dream, I knew that my friend had passed. And I told my mom, you know, and I've seen people in heaven, and I've seen experiences, but I told her. And she was so excited because she said, that's exactly how it happened. But over the last couple of weeks, as I've thought about the nation, and I've thought about the shaking, and I've thought about Joel's army, and I've thought about the work of the cross, and I've thought about what our Lord did on the cross. And I thought about how he rent the veil so that we could have relationship with him, intimate, personal, one-on-one relationship with him. Not only would we gain entrance into heaven, but we would have intimate, one-on-one relationship with him today in this earth. And I thought about all that we've been going through. And all I could think is that what we have done has been a gateway to bring this nation into a place where it can meet the Lord. Really meet God. Where the church can have the root and the rot and the decay and the debris cleaned out and enter into intimate relationship with Christ. And the church then could swing its doors open wide and be a gateway for the world, the lost, the sick, and the dying to enter in to him. And I saw this big picture, this big circular picture of how he has, by his mercy, by his grace, by his leaning forward to us, that's grace, He is leaning down from heaven, reaching down into our lives on a personal level to connect with us on a personal level and give us, reach into us to bring us into relationship, reach into us to impart to us what we need, reach into our lives on a personal level to do what? Bring us into relationship with him. And I saw this picture of how he has given those, especially in Joel's army, who have faced so much, those whose families didn't understand why they prayed so much, those who have lost loved ones in the midst of this journey, those who have fallen sick in the midst of this journey, those who are in the great cloud of witnesses warring on the other side with us. And I thought, every single moment of every single day, oh God, you have given us the grace to stay the course, so that your work of reformation, your work of reconciliation, your work, oh God, of renewal, of restoration, of restitution, could all be complete. And you could send forth your revival to heal it all. And I just fell on my face before him and thought, God, I hope I never pray away the shaking. But see that if I enter into you, through you, the veil, I can find the grace and the strength and all that I need to stay the course on behalf of the ecclesia of my city, my state, and my nation. Because it will, in fact, impact the earth.